So let's dump some junk today. Let's get rid of some garbage today. I want to talk about how to lose weight and gain purpose. Wow. How to lose weight and gain purpose. And we had a foundation scripture. It's going to be Hebrews 12, verse 1. How to gain weight. I'm sorry. No. Got to lose weight and gain purpose. I'm trying to gain weight, though. Okay, so. Have we got that verse on the screen? Okay. So how to lose weight and gain purpose, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Just so I can know how to flow. Is the verses on the screen? Okay, cool. So Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's stay with that for a second there. Therefore, let's go back to verse 1. That was good. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off. So now, we know these great cloud of witnesses are people who were or forerunners of the faith, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these great cloud of witnesses. So just to mess some of y'all bubble up real fast, these people are not literally sitting down from heaven looking and watching down here. I know some people tell you, well, your grandma's sitting in heaven right now. She's looking down at you. Grandma looking at you right now. Grandma's asleep. She's sleeping in the presence of the Lord. I wouldn't, if you be honest with what you said, you wouldn't want people peeking in on you with some of the stuff you may be doing. Come on. I want grandma looking down right now. Come on. And I don't know, what she going to look down? No, no. No, grandma is asleep in the presence of the Lord. He said, therefore, we are surrounded. This metaphor is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses. In other words, since we have these great examples of the faith, men and women who have went before us and are pillars of the faith, we got examples to look to. If they did it, we can do it, is what the point is here. He said, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. Watch this here. Everything that hinders you doesn't have to be a sin. Some stuff that's hindering some of you is not a sin in most cases. It's just that it's hindering you and you need to cast it off. Some people need to be married in this season. Some don't. Because it can hinder you for what God is trying to do in this season. Come on, somebody. Some of you don't need to go hang out with the boys every single day. It's not a sin, but it could hinder some progress that God's trying to do in your life. So everything is not a sin. One verse of scripture says all things are lawful, but what? Are not expedient, meaning it's not wise. Amen. It's a whole lot of things okay to do legally wise, but is it the most appropriate thing to do at this moment here? And you have to have that conversation with yourself, particularly with sharing information with people in your life. It's lawful to talk to people about stuff, but is it wise for me to talk to this person? Okay, so you have to know so that these things do not become hindrances that, watch this here, that is easily to entangle you and get you trapped up. Some of your joy, your peace, your confidence is all trapped up now because you're entangled with the cares of some situation that's behind you. He said, and the beauty of this here is, anybody ever ran track before? And so anybody ever ran track, you know that when you're running track, you want to wear the lightest stuff as possible. I mean, you're not out there wearing no fur coat, no head, no helmet on your head. You're casting off everything that can slow down your race. In this season here, you need to cast off everything that's slowing down your race. What is slowing you down? What's hindering you? What's causing you from putting drag in your life right now where you cannot run as fast as you really could if you let go some of the attitude, the anger, the disappointment of what happened last year? That stuff is slowing your marriage down and your marriage can't get traction because you're holding on to stuff in the past. I'm telling you, it's not if it's going to hinder you. It is going to hinder you. And you need a word from God that will snatch that out of your life. That's the reason why the verse of scripture says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Don't be listening to me right now. Let the Spirit find you right where you at. And that empowers you to let it go. Yeah. Come on. See, you always have to move in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Scripture said when Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had failed and X amount came into the kingdom. There was no altar call. There was no bow your head. Who wants to receive the Holy Ghost? Who wants to? No. It said when Peter preached, the Holy Spirit fell. Why? Because while Peter was preaching, hearts were being dealt with under the preached word. God was dealing with people exactly right where they were at, whether it was on a mountain or a valley. The Holy Spirit was finding people right where they were at. They were being convicted. And while they were at their seat, they were being healed, set free, and delivered. My point is, you need to hear the word as it go forth and allow the Holy Spirit right where you at do what it needs to do. And you do that by being open and receptive to God. What do you have to say for me? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. So that's serving again from last week. The word serve, remember that verse over in Psalm that talks about the steps of good man are ordered by the Lord, and you order a meal. So your righteous waitress is going to serve you what you ordered. And so therefore, if as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord, meaning that this house here is just here to serve God. And therefore, I only want what he wants for my life. Is that your story too? I only want what God wants. See, watch this here. God, if God is the author and the finisher of our faith, if he knows the number of hairs that is on your head, why in the world wouldn't we want to depend? We depend on GPS more than we do God. And some of us can't live without GPS. I, for the first time this week, drove around Savannah without GPS. And I've been here 2 years now. I turn GPS on for everything. Because I just get lost. But I, for the first time, didn't have to turn GPS on to go, I think, to the barbershop. I'm about to turn the GPS on to get to the barbershop from my house. And I said, not today. I'm going to learn how to get there today. And I ain't missing out one beat I got right there. I'm telling you, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. God wants to order your steps. He wants to be the GPS on the inside of you that will get you exactly where you need to be without any hindrances and without any delays. Somebody say, I received that. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes. Look at verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer. I love that word. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So Jesus is the one building your faith. He said, fix it, meaning you're focused on Jesus. You're not focused on your problems. You're not focused on the circumstances and your conditions. If a runner is running and they're so focused on the person who's running next to them, they're not going to win. Your focus is on getting on the finish line and keeping your pace the way it needs to be kept. It said, fixing your eyes on Jesus, keeping your eyes on your ultimate goal. Because oftentimes that your goal is at the end, but if you don't see the victory in the moment, you stop believing your moment is your eternal reality. And the reality is you're just passing that moment if you keep going. But some of us are stopping as we're running and we're so close to the finish line, but we stop before we get there. He said, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. He did that. Why again? So that you would not grow weary and lose heart. You mean to tell me you went through all of that as an example for me, so that I would not grow weary and lose heart? You got to get the brevity of that verse. He endured a lot of that same stuff. He's an example for us that if I can go through this, you can go through it. And the reality is we'll never have to fully go through what Jesus went through. He put it on himself, and you are never fully, but here's the beauty of Jesus going through all that, so that when you go through, you can better say, you know what, if Jesus went through all of that, I surely can go through this. If Latasha went through that, I can surely handle this. Come on, somebody. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the power of stories and testimonies to hear that if you went through that and I'm going through this and you were able to come through that, then I can come through what I'm coming through. The devil don't want us to not only tell our story, he don't want us to have a story. The devil not only want us to tell our story, he don't want you to have a story. And the only way to have a story is you have to finish. And some of you are not finishing your race, and therefore you don't have a story to tell. The only story you have to tell is I lost it all. I'm sick. I don't have this. I don't know how to. That's your story. And that's not the way the story was supposed to end. said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Stop looking at your problems. Stop looking at what they did. Stop looking at what they're talking about. The more you talk about your problems, you're killing your purpose. Stop breathing life into your problems. I told you guys in the past, the more you, when what the scripture says, and I can't prove it to you right now because I don't have my Hebrew text right now, but if you understand in the Old Testament, when God talked about breathing into the nostrils of man, it's not like he brought man there and said, come on, body, and he got down and began to breathe into a man's nostrils. Number one, God is a spirit. God don't have a body. He's a spirit. But when you understand that the power of life and death is in our tongue, and the same way that he spoke everything into existence from day one to the end, when he finally breathed life into the nostrils of man, all he simply was, he just spoke life into the man. The power of life and death is in your tongue, and you can resurrect some dead stuff or bring life to some stuff that need to come alive if you open your mouth and speak the right stuff. But some of you speaking the wrong stuff, and all you see is dead stuff. Why? Because you're speaking about it. You're talking about it. Some of your enemies could be dead if you stop talking about them. The more you talk about people, the more they find life. They can... You're blowing them up. But the less you talk about them, they become irrelevant. They don't even exist. It's some people who's literally dead right now, but the effect on somebody who's alive is still there as if that person was still alive. Because of the thoughts in their mind on what that person did or didn't do in their life. And the pain that that person brought them then is just as present as if the person was alive. You have the power to shut all that down, but you got to know how to speak the right words. How to lose weight and gain purpose. I'm not nowhere near finished with this here. How to lose weight and gain purpose. Number one, you got to have desire. Desire. If I was to ask everybody in here right now, what are some of your desires? There would not be one lack of desire in this room. I would have to stop some of y'all from talking because your desire list is going to be so huge. I desire a home. I desire this. I desire that. I desire this. There is no lack of desire when it comes to losing weight or gaining weight. Here's the problem. There's no lack in desire, but there's a lack of discipline to see it through. You have a desire for that thing, but are you disciplined enough to bring it to reality? Do you have the determination to do what you need to do? And are you dedicated to do your part? So the desire is not an issue for us to want to lose weight. It's do you got the discipline? And that's in a real sense, even with the gym. The reason why I put on 100 pounds to look buff right now because I'm disciplined in the gym. Don't you say nothing. This is my vision with myself. Don't kill my dream right now. Amen. You dream killer, don't kill my dream. Amen. It takes discipline. You don't put weight on in the gym just because you showed up and said, hey, machines, and walk out. No, there has to be some activity going on, and it takes desire to do it, and then number one, the discipline and dedication and determination to see it through. A few more verses. Let's look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, how to lose weight. We'll talk about gaining purpose in a second. How to lose weight. Hebrews 5, 11. Hebrews 5, 11. Look what it says here. Hebrews 5, 11. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially, watch this here, since you are spiritually dull, and don't seem to listen. He said, I got a whole lot to say to you about this. He said, but I'm not going to waste my time because your ears are spiritually dull and you're not going to listen. Come on, parents. Now, you know how it was with your kids at one point. You're saying the same thing over and over and over again. They're like, do you listen to anything I'm saying, boy? Come on. Now, unless your kids did everything right. So no issue. Our Heavenly Father says the same thing about his spiritual children. He said, I got a whole lot to say to you about losing this weight stuff, but say, you know, your ears is dull. I can give you the answer, but are you going to do it? He said, you are spiritually dull and don't even seem to listen. You know, there's some people who geek up on just hearing the word, but hearing the word is not enough. It's applying and activating the word that you hear that brings the change. Somebody said, man, I done been in church all my life. Really? You need to know. Don't tell nobody that. Because it seemed like you just got here last week. You don't need to tell nobody you've been in church all your life. Come on. It's time for you to grow up. Hey, man, it's come on. Tell yourself it's time for us to grow up. Yeah, it's time for us to grow up so that we can reach our full potential, so we can move from weight to purpose. He says, I'll go to the next verse. He said, you have been believers. You've been believers so long. Now that you ought to be teaching others, he said, instead, you need someone to teach you again the basics about the things of God. He said, you've been saved for 40 years, and you should be teaching these other people how to do the things of God, but you need to sit down for a minute and let somebody teach you something, because you still ain't got it. Is that what that's what Pastor Connor had? He said, you are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. And I'm telling you now, you're in the wrong church, because I can't do milk. I'll get you a side class. I'm looking for meat eaters. I'm looking for people who want to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Not, I just want a pastor just to give me some candy. We'll give candy every a little treat just for you being good. But no, you eating some meat. You know, it's any good parent that's feeding their kids is going to. And my wife, the prime example. I just feel sorry for Courtney as a kid. I'm like, can you get that baby some of that sugar? You know, Courtney, soda. I'm like, the devil is a liar. She'll get Courtney some soda inside the cup like here, right? And she'll take the water and do the water about that much. You know, I'm gonna just gave the baby some water. You gonna do all of that? But her point was that you're not gonna be addicted to sugar. And I can tell you right now, Courtney to this day right now, Courtney can do water, or water. And she'll tell me, Daddy, you don't need all that sugar. I'm like, get out of here before I rebuke you, kid. Amen. But we desire sugar, milk, more than we desire the meat of God. And I'm telling you, it's time for some of you to move from milk to meat. It's time for you to move from milk to meat, because some of the stuff that God's trying to do in this next season of your life, it requires what people who got teeth. This is not a season for bottle suckers. This is for those who you got big dreams, big goals, big desires, want to get some stuff between, watch here, stuff done, not just between now and this same time and shit, but between now and January the 1st. Yeah. We need meat eaters, people who don't cry too fast and get offended too fast and talk right to me, somebody. He said, this is for mature people who done got their ears cleaned out with the wax and just really to hear some grown folk stuff. Come on. He said, cannot eat. He said, you are babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Come on, somebody. Anybody here like steak? Leave that alone, Corey. Leave it alone. Because I'm going to ask you, how do you like your steak? How do I like my steak? I would eat my steak raw if I could, but I don't eat, but I'm eating nothing dead. I'm sorry. No, I ain't eating nothing still alive. I saw one man about a month ago, and it's like they put the dead cow, I put the whole cow on his plate alive. It's like, dude, you might be going to eat the whole cow alive, because that thing need to be cooked some more. But we all eat our steak at different levels and stages and temperatures. That's okay. Huh? But you eat meat. We may eat it differently. Cook longer or shorter. We just need you off the milk because, like I told Latasha, that bed that she was in, somebody else needed that bed. Somebody else in this church need the milk who's coming in at the beginning. They need the milk for X amount of weeks and months, and then I want to get them off the milk and then onto the meat. I'll need you on milk when I need you now to help me teach these people. Amen. Hey, Pastor Corey, how you doing? You don't put that bottle down out your hand talking to me. You done been here 40 years and you... Hey, Pastor Corey, you ever see them little kids with the little pacifier in their mouth? You 6 years old with a pacifier in your mouth. I want to hit the parent. Come on. You're spoiling the child. And that, that's so cute. That's so, oh, that's so cute. The Gucci, Gucci. People laughing at you, not. Is it another verse on this here? Go to the next verse. He said, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. He says, solid food, I love this here, is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And if you read the regular King James Version, it said it belongs to those who are mature, are full grown, or those who have had their senses exercised. In other words, meaning that there's some who've been saved for 10 years, who've been saved for 10 years and are mature by virtue of growing up. But there's someone who can get saved 3 days and allow their senses to be exercised by virtue of getting lost in what God's doing, and they can grow up just like that. Come on, somebody. It's not a matter of the time in our world, but are you doing what you need to do to get off the milk? One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Amen. God's time clock, God's calculator is not like our calculator. That's why he said one can chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 in flight. And if you look at it in the natural sense, no, if one can put 1,000 in flight, then two should be putting 2,000 in flight. But God doesn't work our way. That's why he can say the first shall be last and the last shall be first. But you're trying to know God and walk with God with your understanding. And God said, girl, I'm trying to get you 10 steps ahead if you do it my way. But you're calculating everything based on this little milky mind of yours. Somebody say milky mind. Amen. How to lose weight and gain purpose. I got about 15 minutes here, I think. 15 minutes left. How to lose weight and to gain purpose. Number one, stop making excuses. Who remember when God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, get up. Well, even before then, when he met him on the backside, Moses actually, on the backside of the desert, and he wanted Moses to speak on his behalf. And he said, God, I can't even speak. I can't even talk. And what he did was he was making excuses on why he can't be used by God because of his condition. And that's what some of us do. We see our condition and allow our condition to disqualify us from either being used by God or to be disqualified to being able to have this or have that. I was raised on the wrong side of the tract, so I don't have a right to have this stuff. Some people don't even have an inclination, vision on the inside to achieve certain stuff because they wasn't exposed to certain stuff. That's the reason why even here at Impact Church, I don't care what side of the track you was born on. One of my biggest vision here is to expose people to some parts of life they never seen before. And that's not because I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. No, I was not. I was born in a four-bedroom house with about 16 of us in the house, and you figure out where we all slept at. Welfare. I remember the peanut butter and cheese. Yes, the big blocks of cheese. I remember the silver can of peanut butter. I remember the nice powdered milk. And to be honest with you, that was some good powdered milk. At least then it was. I probably wouldn't do it now. It was so sweet, wasn't it? So my point is, I don't have these desires now because I was raised that way. But when I was exposed to that God, you know what? And then when I left my house in Jacksonville and moved to Miami on my grandmother's, on my dad's mother's side, and saw how they were living, going to Jamaica, eating lobsters and stuff. I said, this is how I want to live. This is the part of life that I want. Somebody say it, Pastor Corey. You remember, who over here is saying that, oh, you living high on the hog now? Now, and many young people have no clue what living high on the hog actually means now. But if you understand, back in the days, our ancestors, they lived low on the hog. Meaning that all they ate was the chitlins and the hog malts, the wasted parts of the pig. They couldn't get the big part, eat the good parts. Eat the lower intestine parts of the stuff. But they said, now we done got all, we done moved up like the Jeffersons, and now we eating and living high on the hog now. You can go get what you want, the whole, the best cuts of the meat now. Come on. And then God said, I want you to live high on the hog of life. He said, I put it in you to have the best portions and the best parts of life. You don't have to settle for anything less than what I prescribe for your life. Come on. That's about what telling me, and that's, I'll say that story for next week. No, it's a good story, but I'm going to say that for next week. You got to have a desire to lose weight, to let this stuff go, and stop making excuses for holding on to it. Let's go. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to finish this here because I'm nowhere near finished. Let's go to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. Yeah, that clock rushing me. 1 Samuel 3, watch this here. How am I going to lose weight? I need to learn how to hear from God. He said, now, y'all heard me quote this many times, but I never went to it. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread of revelation. Watch this here. He said, and it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel and answered, and he said, here I am. Watch this here. He said, here I am. And so he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you, son. In other words, lie down again. And he went and he laid down. Watch this here. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli, his physical, natural father, and said, here I am, for you called me, dad. He answered, I did not call you, my son. Go and lay back down. So we see Samuel having this battle. He hear a voice calling him, and he think it's his natural daddy calling him, but it's actually God trying to call him. It's a transition about to go on here. Moving off of hearing me by virtue of man, and you hearing me directly yourself. He said, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So Samuel was used to hearing his dad's voice. And today, sadly to say, most preachers, when the son, the spiritual son, is running to you, instead of you pointing them back to God, we point them to ourselves. Watch the revelation right here in verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, so he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then look at the father who was mature enough and say, you know what? Oh, God's trying to get his attention. So my point real fast is you need a physical person in your life to teach you how to hear from God. Because at the beginning, particularly those who just got saved and will get saved, you don't know how to hear from God by yourself. And that verse said Samuel had not yet learned the voice of God yet. And he needed somebody who was not going to draw them to himself, but when it was time to push them towards God. And that's why the father said, oh, that's God's trying to get his attention. And he said, and the Lord called Samuel again. That's our next verse. And he said, therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie back down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, your servant hears you. He could have said, and if you hit again, and you come and ask me, and I'll tell you what to do. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And look at the last verse here. Now the Lord came and stood and called as the other times. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears you. I'm telling you, God been trying to call some of y'all over the past few weeks. He's been calling you directly. And you think it's your girlfriend on the phone. You think it's the store that's calling you to go shopping. You think it's some new clothes or some new, I didn't know. God said, I'm calling you. I'm trying to get your attention for a purpose. I'm trying to help you lose the weight of not used to hearing from me so that you can now begin to hear from me. And for the scripture says, basically from that day forward, he no longer needed to hear from his natural. He began to hear from the spirit. I will not have time to finish this today. Somebody say, I'm going to grow up because I refuse to live on the lower parts of God's creation. Amen. Refuse to live on the lower parts of God's creation when he has called you to live higher in his creation. And what's this here? It takes works. It takes discipline. It takes desire so we know we want it, but it takes discipline, dedication, and determination to see it through. It means that you got to turn the TV off sometimes. Don't go someplace. Who's trying to get the debt? I'm sorry, fix the credit up somehow, some way. Yeah, if you're going to lose the weight of that, you can't go spend it everywhere. Everything is not a sale. Ladies, every outfit, them people know what they're doing. They put 40% off because they already jacked the price up. And you think, oh, girl, I got a sale. They got you. Gotcha. Store said, oh, we got another one. Oh, we got another one. They don't know our scheme yet. We just lower the sale rate, even though we knocked the prices up. Your house is more important. Your dream of a house is more important than your momentarily flesh of wanting that little stuff. Come on. Hey, you got to delay your gratifications. You got to delay. All them gratifications will get you in what? Trouble. One more verse of scripture, and I'm going to stop right here. Ah, this is good. And I haven't even got over the purpose. I'm still talking about losing weight. If I had to leave you with something positive, I don't like leaving you on a bad note. Like, man, he beat us down today. Man, God, darn, Pastor, he beat us down. Like, we stole something. So I'm going to leave you something nice and nice with. You know, because you got to have your little, you got to get a little dessert at the end, right? Give you a little dessert. So go to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope. Somebody say, he's talking to me. Come on, somebody need to prophesy that to themselves, because your future, it doesn't feel bright. It doesn't look hopeful. Everything look dark right now. Power, life, and death is in your tongue. It's not what they say about you that snares you. It's what you say and think about your own self that traps you up. Say, for I know. Come on, say, for I know the thoughts that he thinks towards me. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, and they give me a future and a hope. That's what God want to give you. Don't be moved by your conditions. Don't be moved what it felt like. He's trying to get you to lose weight so you can gain purpose. But you'll never gain purpose. You'll never gain this. You'll never see this if you're entrapped by this stuff that's holding you back. He's trying to get you to lay aside every weight, every sin. And watch this here. The weight that's hindering you is not the weight that's hindering her. So therefore, you need to go home and write down all the weights that you know that's hindering you. And make a conscious effort that I'm going to deal with my weight. Anybody with me this morning? We all got weight issues. Spiritual weight issues. You got big dreams, big goals, big aspirations, big hopes, but the weight is getting in the way of the purpose. And God has said, I want to strip you of everything that's hindering you and that's getting in your way this season. Come on, stand at your feet and let's pray. I hope this word bless somebody on today. Hope it bless you. Lay aside how to lose the weight and gain the purpose. I just hear God saying strongly that somebody need to forgive somebody. You need to forgive somebody. You need to let it go. I need to let it go. You need to let it go. You got to let it go. This baggage can't go. We're not waiting to January the 1st to make a declaration that we don't hold on to. Just let it go now. Now unto him that's able to keep us from falling. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly. Not later, but a now. He's a right now. I'm telling you, as God shifts me, he's shifting you. Now unto him. This city is waiting for grown folk. A grown, mature church that can help them deal with their pains and their issues and problems. I'm telling you, God is going to grow some of you up, not by virtue of because you've been saved for 10 years, but by virtue of because over the next few weeks and the next few months, you're going to lose yourself in what God has said do. And that's going to accelerate your spiritual growth. Amen. Was it Jonah that after he was going the opposite way of what God wanted to be done, said Jonah made up his mind after being thrown in the belly of a fish for 3 days and say, you know what? I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live in this mess. I don't want to be out of order. It said when Jonah made up his mind to get in the right direction, what should have took him 3 days to do, he did it in 1 day. I'm telling you, time is not your issue. God can cause you to catch up and make up just like that. As soon as you change your mind, you could be in a whole new place. It's all a matter of doing, saying, God, I changed my mind. And that's what repentance is all about. Repentance is a change of mind. I refuse to disobey God. And Jonah found himself, which it took him 3 days to do. I'm done right here. Some of you guys got some journeys right now that you're thinking, man, it's going to take me long to get it done. Not with God on your side. I'm talking about the tangible God, not the God that everybody knows. Why? Because God has revealed himself to everybody. I'm talking about the tangible, manifest presence of God that he only reveals to those that know him intimately. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you.